Hello, and welcome to another great episode of Innovation Odyssey. Today I have with me in the studio, a little farther away in Ireland, Helen Burke, who is the founder of Team Based Ireland. Welcome, Helen.
Hi, Irina. It's lovely to be here today. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. And we have finally some sunny weather in Ireland, so that's always a bonus.
No rain.
Picks everybody up. No rain. We've got some sun, a little bit of clouds, but it's been great weather these days, which doesn't happen much.
And do you still go for your runs? Because I know that you post on LinkedIn that you run quite often and you have your inspirations come from the run. Do you run when you can?
I'm more walking on the beach. I love long walks on the beach. So there's this beach near me that I used to go to as a child with my mom and dad. Especially dad used to take a group of us over friends. I still go to that beach always, and I'm always posting pictures of it on LinkedIn. And it's almost 7 kilometers, so like 6.57 kilometers. You can walk all the way around like a full circle of the beach, and it's just beautiful. I love it. So I still do that, and I still go to the gym as well from time to time. I just find it's good to, you know, clear the head, spark new thoughts, help solve problems. Just, yeah, I just love exercise. It's my go-to.
Fantastic. So I give my guest a 30-second elevator pitch opportunity. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, you've already introduced me. So my name is Helen Burke, founder of Team Based Ireland. And what we do is we help insurance brokers become more operationally efficient with technology. We literally help them solve the most painful problems that they have with insurance administration. Now, a lot of people say insurance isn't sexy, but solving insurance admin problems is. That's where we come in.
I love that. Yeah, I always also tell people insurance isn't the sexiest thing, but it's kind of very necessary. And I think that brokers are a very big part of the insurance business, right?
100%. I mean, I think of brokers as, I like to call them, they're the front line. They're literally on the front line of insurance, right? So when I think of the whole ecosystem, you know, you've got the reinsurers sort of sitting behind, then you have the insurers sitting in front, and then on the very front line, as we say, using an analogy here, are the insurance brokers intermediaries, because they're dealing directly with the clients, with the corporates, and with the individuals. So they're literally, I would say, the heartbeat of insurance. I mean, they handle all of the day-to-day operations, the admin, the coordination between the client and the insurer. And yeah, they're literally the central part of the ecosystem I see in the brokers and agents as.
Why did you hold in on to say the brokers and not maybe the agents?
Oh, brokers and agents.
And agents.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, agents as well. Yeah.
Anyone
on the distribution side.
I see. So is there a reason why you chose this segment to?
So that's an interesting story. I'll be very transparent and honest here. I'm not from an insurance background. I was not born into a family that had a brokerage or anything like that, right? Completely, you know, yeah, didn't see it coming, right? I joined a technology company in Qatar, and this is part of my Middle East story. So I joined a technology company in Qatar, and the first project I worked on happened to be an insurance project. And we were building a bespoke custom policy admin system for an insurer, actually. And that's how it started. And I was just fascinated by it. I started to learn more about it. I was just intrigued. And I actually, weirdly enough, I enjoyed the complexities in it. I liked that it wasn't easy. I liked that it was so many variations and all the different lanes of business and all the calculations. And yeah, I was just fascinated by it, and still am to this day. And I'm always learning more and more about underwriting and whatnot. as the years go on, but it's just, I just see that it has such a social impact as well. It really does makes such a difference in not only in people's lives, but in the economy. Global economies would crash without insurance. They would. Companies, governments, nobody can survive without it. But it's insane, really, actually, when you do think about it.
And when did you start Team-Based Ireland?
I set up Team-Based Ireland in 2022 when I moved home. And the reason behind it was because myself and my shareholders and partners, we know, and we know this because we've got another business in Dubai as well, but we know that insurance admin is a real pain. And there is a lot of admin in the insurance industry because it's such a heavily regulated industry. And rightly so, it has to be regulated. Of course, you're literally saying to people, I'm going to take your risk and you pay me for that and I'm going to cover you, you know, regardless of what goes wrong. Of course, there are exclusions here and there, but we won't get into that. So from the admin side, we just know that there's just so much pain, especially for the brokers and agents, because they are the ones dealing with the corporate clients day to day, the renewals, the quoting and the sales process, the comparisons between the different insurers. It's just, they have so much on their plate that they really need simple, easy technology that covers different lines of business that can help them solve the mundane, repetitive admin work that really it's not the best use of people's time in this day and age, Rina.
So you've been in Qatar for how long? Or you were in Qatar for how long?
I was in Qatar for about 4 years and then around eight in Dubai, eight and a half. So about 12 and a half years in the Middle East.
And what actually got you into the Middle East?
I went for love, actually. It's not what you were thinking.
That's what I did, so I know.
Yeah. It's funny where life and love will take you, right? So I finished college and my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, Charles, he got a job with an oil and gas company and he moved out. And I was finishing my studies in Galway. I was completing my master's in information systems management. So this is the tech side of me. I was finishing that off. And then I moved out and I started as a teacher with an international school. So that was interesting.
So 12 years in Middle East. Did you like that on a personal level?
I loved every minute of it. What I liked most was, of course, the weather. I mean, it's sunny every day over there. I love the heat, right? So the weather is beautiful. I loved as well working with such a diverse international group of people. And in the Middle East, you really get that because there's so many expatriates. You have a small population of locals as well, but there's literally people from every nationality you could think of living in UAE or even in Qatar, but especially in Dubai. And I just loved being sort of exposed to and working with and learning more about other people's cultures and backgrounds. And I just found it fascinating and really interesting to work with people from all over the world.
Did you pick up Arabic?
I have a few words.
Very good.
Shwaya, slowly. I have a few bits and pieces. So when I was teaching the children, I was teaching them English, and they were only small kids that I was teaching. They were at kindergarten, so they were like 3, 4, and they used to teach me a couple of Arabic words. I'm like, oh, you teach me the Arabic words, not teach the English words. So it was cute. It was nice.
And you did teach them Gaelic?
No, that would have been a bit tough. Although, considering Arabic's a difficult language and the pronunciation, they probably would have picked up Gaelic, no problem.
And so when you dealt with insurance, say brokers in Middle East, and now you're in Dublin, are there any differences in the way, the culture and the way they tackle technology, in the way they like deal with customers?
I would say, yeah, I mean, definitely. So, of course, the market is different, right? It's regulated different, at least. Yeah, health insurance, the one that really struck me is health insurance in Ireland is a little bit of a strange one. There's a few big players. There's like four or five, you know, big insurers that sell health insurance in Ireland. And then that's it. So they kind of have a little bit of a monopoly on the market. So they're lucky in a way. But, and it is very expensive. And then in Middle East or in UAE in particular, I'm going to focus in on UAE because I lived there the longest. The different Emirates, so Dubai and Abu Dhabi have two, even though they're really close and only 45 minutes drive up the road, they have two different health authorities as well. So the regulation is a little bit different even between Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So regulation is one thing, of course. That's again, very different markets. And medical and health insurance is mandatory in UAE. So when you join a company, regardless of what type of company it is, by default, your employer must give you health insurance, even if it's the basic plan or whatever they can afford, but they must give you private health insurance as an employee. So that's one good thing. I mean, in Ireland, there's so many people uninsured. Again, I'm focusing a little bit more on the health insurance side. There's a lot of uninsured. The protection gap in Ireland is huge.
So your solution is more for health insurance, employee benefit insurance?
There's an interesting story here that I'm going to tell. I always have a story, Reno, you know me. But we started out on the life and health insurance side. So that's where we've been predominantly strong. We're a very specialist and niche in that area. However, in the past 18 months, and based on conversations with potential clients, and with existing clients, we see that there's a huge gap on the commercial insurance side, especially in Europe, believe it or not. And that is an area that we're now looking into and working with, actively working with one of our existing clients and with one new client as well in Ireland on the commercial insurance side of space as well. Because there's just, it is, commercial insurance is complex. I'm not saying health and life is easy, it's definitely not, but commercial insurance is very complex and there's just a lot of nuances, and account managers, again, are really spending a lot of time to do these comparisons when they go to market. So they go to the insurers, they get back the 70-page PDF and they're going blind trying to find all the clauses and do the comparison to share it out with the client. So that's something that we have completely automated from start to finish to help really help with the accelerate the sales process in insurance and take out the heavy lifting. So we've automated that process and help the account managers really focus on the executive summary piece, which is giving advice. That is where the brokers make their money and the agents. That's why the agencies and brokers make commission. At the end of the day, it's all about giving good solid advice on which type of insurance they feel is best suited for that person and their business. So that's where the time should be spent, not on copy-pasting into Excels and reading 70-page PDFs from insurers, because that just takes a lot of time. So we've automated that with our new solution, QuickQuote Hub.
What's the demographic profile of a broker/agent in, say, Dubai and in Dublin? Are they like 35 years old? Are they all over the place?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I mean, it's mixed, right? So you've got, I would say, you've got the international brokers, right? You've got the big ones. They've got offices everywhere. You've got the, you know, the WTWs, the Aons, the Mercer, the Marsh, the Lockton's. They're everywhere, right? They're so big. They've got offices all over the world. But then it's interesting to see the difference between the smaller sort of local brokers, the independent small sort of, you know, maybe family. Some of them are family brokerages. Again, somebody was born into a family, and the father passed down the brokerage to the son or daughter, and then they continue to, you know, you see that in Ireland, not so much in Middle East, but in Europe you do see a lot of that sort of family brokerages that have been passed down through the generations. So it's a really a mixed bag of the size and depth and sort of demographic of the brokers that I see in the different markets.
So when you approach them with the technology, what is the first reaction? Is it, oh no, we're going to be replaced? Or let's just give a listen. What do you get usually?
No, it's just sometimes it's a little bit of surprise. It's like, why have I not thought about automating this before? They're a little bit, you know, like, yeah, it's a little bit of shock kicks in. They're like, why are we doing this manual? And then, you know, you start asking them a couple of questions and this starts to spark some thoughts, and they're like, okay, and you say, well, you know that this is not the best use of people's time, and brokers earn money and commission from the executive summary piece, and that's where people need to be spending the time, not on the manual copy pasting. And needless to say, believe it or not, right, when you think of it, right, an account manager is copy pasting data from a policy schedule into an Excel file or a nice PDF format that they will eventually send to the client. The risk in doing this in manual error is high. Now, in insurance, we always talk about risk. And by nature, insurance people or people that work in insurance, at least insurers and brokers and reinsurers, they're all risk mitigators. But when they look under the hood of their operations, they've got risks flying everywhere. And it's funny then sometimes to kind of, I come along and I point that out to them. I'm like, you're in the insurance business, and your business is mitigating other people's risks by helping them find good insurance for themselves and their business. Nice. But you take a look at your own operations and you've got some of the biggest risks going. You know, it's funny, but I mean, I obviously don't say it in that way, but I help them, you know, reach that thinking as to, you know, you've got some gaps here, and, you know, this is how we can help you solve that. So we take a very consultative approach as well with our clients, and sort of, you know, we all know the insurance industry moves quite slow, especially when we compare it to, you know, banking and finance. It's like they're late years ahead. But having said that, I wouldn't be anywhere else. There's so much opportunity, and it's great. It's very exciting.
And how big is TeamBase Ireland?
Right now we are four people. So it's myself and my shareholders, my partners. But it's an exciting time for us. We're getting quite good traction at the minute with our new solution, which I mentioned earlier. And let's just say watch the space. Yes, a lot of conversations happening, and yeah, we're excited to continue to scale and grow the business and continue to help brokers and keep adding value and solving their most painful problems.
Did you say you started off in the Middle East and then you expanded in Ireland, or you started off in Ireland?
No, we started in the Middle East, yeah. And I moved home then in 2011, and I set up TeamBase Ireland just early 2022. It was COVID as well that accelerated that move home, yeah. At the moment, I'll say very much focused on Ireland and the UK. But we and you know this because I've met you twice in the US last year, we will look into the US as well, probably more from 2026 onwards again, and a little bit more. We want to grow the business in Ireland and the UK first, have some client case studies, you know, get a good bit of traction here in Europe. But again, I'm saying Ireland and the UK because we're based in Ireland, and it's good to travel and meet some of the, you know, have some of the discussions face to face. It really does help. So focus there. And then, yeah, definitely looking at the US. And of course, Middle East will always be a market that we're interested in because we're already strong there through the Dubai business as well. Asia is very interesting for us as well. There's a lot happening in Asia at the moment.
Okay. Do you think that your experience of having moved to a different country is helping you grow the business, ideate the business?
I would say yes. The international experience and sort of, like I said, working with international cultures, diversity, that's sort of having had that experience when I lived in Middle East, I guess it sort of makes you a little bit more open-minded then. And in insurance, particularly, because every country, and in the US, every state, has its nuances, and there are differences, and there's the regulation is different, and your system needs to be compliant. If you're running around with an uncompliant system, nobody's going to want to use it. So it's really important to have that open mind and know that you're not going to have a generic system that's going to scale internationally without having to make some level of configuration for the local market. You have to do that. And I learned that quite early on from our Dubai business when I was in the Dubai business before I set up the Irish business. I seen that. So we were entering new countries. Every year we would typically enter a new country, right? Last year we entered the Philippines. We now have a client in the Philippines. And this year we're working as well with clients in Singapore and Hong Kong. But we come at it with the sort of mindset that we know there will be a level of configuration needed for the local market. And as long as you know that and you're not going in with the, I'm trying to force my solution to fit I'm trying to squeeze my solution in and force it to fit the local market, it's not going to work for you. You're going to have to be open-minded and know that there is a level of work to get the solution to meet the local compliance regulation and to have that in place. Once that's in place, your solution will resonate well, and the adoption piece with the clients will be much better, and your client will be happier because they know that you've actually gone to the effort of doing the configuration and localization of the system to meet the local regulatory requirements. That is important. And it gets forgotten about by some insurtechs, I feel.
Are you looking to raise money?
At the moment, no. I feel TeamBase Ireland's a little bit too early yet for that stage. Having said that, I sometimes do have early conversations with investors just so they know where we are and what we're doing and to keep their eyes open for us for when we are raising. But realistically speaking, Renew, I would say we're a couple of years off that yet. I would like us to get we have some internal targets I want us to hit before it would make sense, I feel.
But, I mean, you are open to venture capital funding.
Oh, yes. In the future. Yeah, we would be.
Okay. And, because I'm focusing on different things, but like, what do you do with the data that comes from the submissions? Because I like the data part. Does the final user, is that still the broker?
Yeah. Yeah. It's client managers. Yeah.
Okay. And so anyone needs to do more, you have to go back to the brokers again to look at the data. They cannot come to you as a team base.
Oh, well, okay. So how it works is we are basically coming in as, you can sort of think of us as the tech partner for the brokers. We're like an extended IT team, basically. So we come in and then we help them manage their data. Now, unlike some legacy systems that do actually charge the brokers for accessing their data, we don't operate with that model. I mean, it's their data. At the end of the day, they can access it whatever way they want. We just help them manage it, manage all the hosting. We're a fully managed service. We just make sure that they always have the full access to their data is what I'm trying to get at. And they don't have to pay us for accessing their data.
And a little bit on the personal side. You are a female CEO. Does that matter to you? Like that your gender, as you go out and pitch and talk to people all over, do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I find maybe sometimes life would be easier if I was just a man, right? But there would be no fun then, right? I mean, I like being the underdog. I loved that, actually. I like that I need to work that a little bit harder. It probably pushes me more. I constantly feel like that I have something to prove, but that's just me as a person anyway. But that's just the drive in me to always want to improve, to always want to learn something, to always want to do better. Because I feel like when you have that drive in you, you'll always keep pushing, right? You know, and I think a lot of women have that. There's loads of men that have it as well. I'm not going to turn this into, you know, women are better than men, right? But it's just, you have to have that sort of passion and fire in the belly, we call it in Ireland. You know, you have to have that fire in the belly that, you know, you just keep pushing. And so many people will say, you know, you're crazy, or that can't be done, or it's silly. Or I mean, the amount of people that told me when I came home first and I was setting up Team Based Ireland, they're like, kind of good luck with that, honey. You know, a few people raised eyebrows and they were kind of like, yeah. And I was like, no, it's okay. You'll see. It'll take time, but and I know, and I'll keep going until it happens. So I was like, you underestimate me. I just won't stop. So yeah, there was a couple of people. And when I first moved home back in 2022, when I first set up the company, that, and I had my early conversations, and I was very naive, to be honest as well. I mean, my eyes are wide open now. I learned a lot in those couple of years, but they were just like, you know, like, what are you going to do different? Like, what is it that, you know, all these sort of negative thoughts and comments. And I'm like, you'll see, you know, and I nearly like that, because those comments sort of fuel me to prove then that, you know, that it can be done. Yeah, to follow your passion, to keep going, to keep trying, to keep pushing, keep improving. It's just, yeah, you have to, as they say, there will be the naysayers or the haters or whatever. You know, there's always going to be negative people around, but, you know, you just, you choose who and what you listen to, and you absorb the positive vibes and energy and information and let the rest just pass you by.
Exactly. do you consider yourself to be an entrepreneur or an innovator? The definition is up to you.
So to me, I'm going to say both, right? Because I feel, and this is just purely my personal opinion, that to be an entrepreneur, you have to have that, there has to be even at least a smidge or a small percentage of innovator in you. Because like I said, it's about this sort of this drive, this fire in the belly to go do something. That is sort of like innovation, right? It's like, I want to do it different, or I want to do it better, or I want to start something completely new out there, out of the box. It's never been done before, or I want to do it in a different way. That, to me, it is entrepreneurship. So they're very closely linked. So I can't say I'm one or the other. I think they're both linked, because I just feel that you have to have that little bit of innovation and spark in you to be an entrepreneur to begin with.
Fantastic. And in the mode of wrapping up, what is your outlook for Team Based Ireland, say in the next, let's do 3 years? And what would be the role of AI in it?
So I would say that in the next 3 years, I'm hoping that, with my little crystal ball here, I'm hoping that we will, and I'm manifesting here now as well when I'm saying it, that we will have anywhere between 5 to 10 clients successfully launched, up and running, with case studies for as many of them as we can, because the case studies are important to show that our solution is really solving problems. We will have also hopefully entered the US market and have one client. And where AI comes in is We've been doing some research and development for the past while on the use of AI in operations and workflows. And one of the areas that we do see it being really, really helpful is in the comparison piece. So comparing different insurance products, helping find the exclusions, and again, that operational admin piece, that's where we see AI is going to be a game changer there. And it already is making such advancements in speeding up internal business processes.
So you're going to be supercharging the brokers and agents in selling insurance quicker, easier.
That's the plan. Yeah, we want to make their life easy so that they can give the best advice and have time to actually do it properly.
Fantastic. On that beautiful note, thank you very much. This was a great conversation. It's always great talking to you, Helen.
Thank you so much, Renu. I loved it. Thank you.